Welcome to this week's episode of Tossed Salads and Scrambled Eggs. I'm your host, Trent. Before we get into this week's topic, it would be crazy for me to try to jump right in without briefly acknowledging just the craziness that's going on right now with this COVID-19, this Rona, Corona, my Sharona shit going on right now. It's crazy out here, y'all. Like, our lives have been disrupted and changed for at least the foreseeable future. Hopefully not too long, but I mean, the way it's being handled, I mean, financially it's fucking with many of us. Just interrupting our lives in general for many of us. A lot of people are working from home now, except for essential personnel, hospitals, pharmacies, things like that. Grocery stores being pretty much empty. Not empty, but they have stuff, but the stuff you really, really want might not be there. Or some of your essentials, you got to go first thing in the morning or you're not getting it. So we are in some different times right now. It's been some interesting changes. You know, you go from thinking, you know, going from a situation where most things are open and accessible unless some random emergency situation happens to, unless it's an essential business, it's closed down for the time being. That means all those people working at those businesses are not making money. They are losing money. All businesses that are closed right now during this time period are losing money. People who are going to be my fellow colleagues as therapists, a good chunk of them are probably losing money unless they're meeting outside of their offices, or if they have distance counseling going, if they're doing telecounseling through, the internet, doing webcams and stuff like that. Their livelihoods are on the line because they're not going to have money to pay rent or pay their bills because their line of work is shut down because of this virus. And, you know, we want people to be healthy. We want people to make healthy choices. I'm upset it took this kind of situation to get people to know it's important to wash your ass and wash your hands on a regular basis, but that's neither here nor there. Be careful out there. Be safe. Make healthy decisions. Make smart decisions. Don't be out here just to be out here because you're bored. If you're bored of being in the house all day, every day, because you work from home, and so basically everything you do is at home now except for grocery runs and Walmart runs and doctor's visits, take your ass outside and take a walk. Most of us could, a walk would not hurt us. Most of us could use a good ass walk or four or five each week. So, do what's best for you. Do what's best for your family. Be safe. Be careful. Wash your hands thoroughly. Use sanitizer appropriately. Don't bathe in the shit. Don't do stupid shit and soak your hands in sanitizer and then put your hand over open fire. I know that sounds extremely stupid, but I saw a news story online of somebody doing that shit, talking about they burned their arms and hands. Be careful. Yeah, I guess if you have your arms and legs, your arms slathered in sanitizer, and then you immediately put them over a fire before the sanitizer is dried up and gotten into your skin, yeah, your shit's gonna catch on fire. I guess that would happen. So be smart, as you would be if there was no virus going on. Hopefully, be smart, be careful, be safe, be healthy, all that good shit. Work it out. Don't be a lazy ass. Don't sit on your ass and gain 60 pounds and then be fucked up for the summer, if we have a summer, or much of a summer, whatever that is. But anyways, like I said, don't want to be too long on this because that's not what this podcast is about. You want a Corona podcast? Go somewhere else. That's not what this is. I just wanted to address it real quick. This week's episode is appropriately titled, Is Love Blind? So if you hear the title of this episode, you should already know what this episode is about to be about. So, if you've seen on Netflix, there's a show called Love is Blind that Netflix produced and released. If you've seen it, you will know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about here. And this episode hopefully will be highly entertaining to you, because just the nature of the show and just how it shook out, it puts me in a ranting mood. So I can tell you right now, this episode is at least going to be an hour, if not the full close to like hour 20 minutes, maybe even push an hour 30, just depending on how far I rant into this. But if you haven't seen it, this is basically going to be a summary of it, or a kind of a review of it, if you will, and my opinions mixed in there. So if you want to watch it, what you may want to do, you may want, if you have the time, which you might have at this time, if you got Netflix or somebody's Netflix information, you might want to go in and watch the show for yourself. Honestly, if you're not that big into love stuff, or you honestly, if you just want some entertainment to see some people just being batshit crazy, it's a good show to watch for that purpose. But outside of that, I mean, it's a hit or miss for you. You might be able to get through it, you might not. I ended up watching it because it was me and my girl that were actually watching it. Her and her daughter came to visit me during this whole time period when this kind of really got, when this really, this whole COVID-19 thing really got rolling. And the thing was, it was for her daughter's spring break. Please excuse any outside noises you might hear. I'm recording from my household, so it's gonna be some outside random noises that pop in and out, so just don't be alarmed. I'm a Negro. Anyways, so once they got here, everything that got shut down, everything we had intended on doing, most of it got shut down. So we were just here at my place for pretty much the whole time. There were a few things we got to do before everything got shut down, but mainly we were here. So the only thing that was to do was watch it. So she asked me, did I want to watch Love is Blind? I had heard people mention it on Twitter because of the whole Carlton and... what was that girl's name? Carlton and Diamond situation. So that's the main reason I'd heard about it. So other than that, I hadn't really looked that deep into it. She asked that I want to watch it. I was like, we ain't got nothing else to do, let's watch it. So that's how I ended up watching it, and boy was it a ride. If you haven't seen it, oh, you're in for a ride. If you have seen it, did y'all see that shit? Did y'all really see that shit? I mean, of course there was only one black couple for like 5 seconds, but these niggas was wildin', and y'all know me, I do use the N-word quite frequently. Nigga in this context is not just referring to black people. Nigga in this context is just people being extremely foolish and having fooly ass behavior. So with that said, we're going into this. This episode is Love Blind. So I finally watched the show way after everybody else, because hell, that's just how it ends up with me anyways. I have so many shows in my queue. People be watching shit and making comments on it, and then 30 years later I watch it because accident or bored or whatever. But overall, let's just start from overall thoughts. These motherfuckers need therapy. Not therapy. Not therapy spelled correctly, but therapy. T-H-U, three R's, A-P-Y, all in capital. These motherfuckers need therapy. Every single last one of them. Some of them need, like, intensive, like, possibly inpatient, like, in-house. Like, they need to go, you know, go to a mental hospital of the state and, you know, check themselves in. They need help. We won't get into that, like, as far as who I feel really needs that deep, deep, deep therapy and who just need, like, just therapy, but still some pretty intense therapy nonetheless. So let's before we get into that too deep, as I'm going through these different couples that made it to actually that coupling kind of stage, it's so many topics that I've addressed on this podcast and probably will in the future in, you know, future podcasts or, you know, episodes with multiple people, us having open discussions and stuff. But it's so many topics that come up throughout the course of this show. So as they come up with each couple that made it to the point of being a couple, I will throw those questions out there, throw those topics out there and briefly talk about them. But just to start off, let's just answer the question of the actual topic of the show that they kept asking, Nick Lachey and his wife. Is love blind? And not even that, not even just is love truly blind, but is the reason that a lot of people can't find love is that they're so focused on a person's outer appearance, that they're them being shallow. The reason why they can't find love is personality, what really should matter, and not looks at all. And so here's my, I can only give you my response. I can't speak for the masses or even any set of people. I can only speak for my opinion on this. Is love blind? Fuck no, it's not blind unless you blind. If you blind, then love is blind. Yes, it is, because you can't see shit. You haven't seen shit. So it ain't, it's nothing for you to miss. You're not going to be able to be like, oh, you can't evaluate anybody based on their looks because you can't see anything. You can't see anything. You can't see the hand in front of your face. You don't know if the lights are on or off. You might be able to. I don't know how it is being blind. So if somebody blind is listening to this and I am being offensive because I'm not being understanding to what it is like to be blind, I do truly apologize, because I have no idea what it's like to be blind. At best, I can just close my eyes for a long time and hopefully not fall asleep and try to get an idea. But in my mind, at best, you might be able to kind of tell if it's bright in the room or not. Maybe. I'm not even sure if that's how it works. So yeah, I apologize if I'm being insensitive. But if you're blind, you can't miss what you've never seen. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I was born deaf. If I was born deaf, hearing music, I cannot truly appreciate music because I can't hear it. I can't hear it, so I can't appreciate the bass, the treble, the different rhythms, the different lyrics. I can't appreciate any of that because I can't hear a goddamn thing. So I feel like only a blind person would be able to say that love is truly blind. Of course, you got that subset of people out there that say, oh, looks don't really matter. I don't care what a person looks like. I only care about what's in their heart, what kind of person they are, and da-da-da-da. You know, if there are people who are genuinely out there like that, that truly don't give a shit about looks at all, God bless you and Godspeed to you. You know, if that's what it is for you, great. I'm happy for you. I'm sure that works out great for you. I'm happy for you. Not judging you whatsoever. However, again, I can only speak for myself and for, I say, at least a decent chunk of people out there in the world. For me, and even if I just say just me, I'm going to judge you by appearance. Yes, because, I mean, for most of us that can see, even if you're not super picky, you got a preference. You have a type that you tend to go for, or you have a type that you like if you actually had the option to choose. Even if you don't have that deep of a preference, you have things that you like. Like some people like if you look for women or even men that look at men, but for somebody looking at a man, some people would say they like a man with locks. They might say they like a man, that's bald. Some women like a man that has facial hair. Some women don't like facial hair. Some women don't like hair on a man at all, other than his facial hair or on his head. And some women love a hairy man all over. Some women, I could go on and on with every kind of physical appearance or trait ever, that everybody has their own preferences and likes and dislikes or indifferences. But at the end of the day, most people have some sort of preference, or at least bare minimum things. Or like, some people wouldn't date somebody that's missing teeth or doesn't have good healthy mouth, for multiple reasons. Some people would say that they would not date somebody based on their height. Like, some women will straight up laugh at you if you try to come with them height wise anything less than a certain height. That they will look at you. That there are women, as my good friend Tam, hey Tam, would put it, there are some women out there that are heightists. That they do want a man of a certain height, whether it's because that woman herself is tall or if it's just her fucking preference. Either way, some women have that preference that they are not dating a man under a certain height, or they're not dating a man that's shorter than them, or whatever that requirement is for that woman or man, whatever. Everybody has their own preferences, physical. And the same thing goes for women, obviously. Some guys will say, I ain't dating a woman that don't have a fat ass. Some guys will say they're not dating a woman that don't have some titties on sitting on them. That the titties don't be tittying. They not gonna date that woman. Some people will say they're not dating somebody outside their race, that it just ain't gonna happen. It's too much of a struggle. They're not attracted to people outside their race. And even if they were, the struggle dealing with family and friends and all this other shit, society and other shit, they ain't trying to deal with it. So they just don't. Whatever your reasoning is for your preferences, you don't have to explain them to anybody. That's your business, your life to live. Depending on what those physical requirements or minimums are, it may make dating harder, but it's your life. You the one that's got to date this person. Love this person, fuck this person, have sex with this person. You got to do all that with this person. So you're the one, your opinion is what matters. What you want to deal with is what matters. So is love blind? Nah, not to me. To me, love at best might have a lazy eye, but outside of that, nah, love ain't blind. Looks matter. And so that brings me to a topic as I was kind of going back and forth between all those different preferences. It brings me to pettiness in dating, you know. You have some people who will stop talking to people for some of the what would be considered quote unquote petty ass reasons. And I went on ahead and mentioned this because, for example, for those of you who watch the show, I want to say it had to be the first episode, I think, first or second episode. Because there were so many people in the show you didn't even get to meet or get to really get to know because they didn't make it past the initial stages of talking to people with the partitions up. So you didn't really get to know them well. But like, there was another black girl that was on there, and she decided to have this whole thing of, like, she was in a room. She came into the room at one point. She was like, I have this thing where I cannot stand somebody who I can't stand folks breathing weird. And I'm like, what? You gonna stop talking to somebody because they breathe weird? What? Girl, what? What is you talking about? Like, I mean, that's her business. I mean, more power to her looking for, worrying about how people breathe. And I'm like, she's like, people breathe too weird. She trying to ditch them. And don't get me wrong, I see that shit all the time as far as online presence would tell you. You have so many people that are quick to tout the fact that they are so quick to stop talking to somebody over some, like, it doesn't take much for them to stop talking to somebody. And I'm like, maybe it's just me, and I'm out of the game at this point, so it's not like I can really talk too big on it. But even when I was still in this whole dating game thing, you touting that you get rid of people over the smallest shit is not something you really should be bragging about, quite frankly. In my opinion, that's not something to brag about, because the thing is, You have some of these same people who are saying up and down, oh, I would love to be in a happy, healthy relationship someday, and, you know, maybe even get married and have kids and all that stuff. And I'm like, if you try to get rid of somebody, like shoo them away or run away from a situation over the tiniest little infraction, I always fuck up how to pronounce that, over the tiniest shit. Essentially, if you are quick to walk away from a situation over the tiniest little fuck-ups or miscommunications or big conversations that just need to be had or issues that need to be addressed or problems that come up as you're, you know, getting to know someone and dating someone, if you're quick to instantly be turned off of somebody or not want to continue the connection with somebody, you're not going to make it too far in any relationship, because unfortunately, we're human beings, most of us anyways. Most of us are human beings, meaning we're going to make mistakes. We're going to misspeak. We're going to perform actions that are less than ideal. And the thing is, you have to You have to be willing to give people chances to do better. You can't just, you know, one strike you out kind of thing. Because the thing is, a lot of these people who want to one strike people are the same people who make mistakes but want people to forgive them or act like they didn't make a mistake. And, well, you will find yourself alone. I'll just put it like that, plain and simple. You will find yourself alone real quick. But anyways, petty, you know, don't, you shouldn't be proud, basically, to say that you will stop talking to people over the smallest shit. Because, I mean, from what I've been told, as far as people who have been dating a very long time or who have just gotten married or who have been married for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you are not always going to get along. You are not always going to agree with one another. And y'all have to have a way to get past those moments, because if you don't, you will not make it. Period, point blank. That's, and to me, that those rules apply to any connection, but I digress. Continuing talking about Love is Blind, just watching this show, watching it with my girl, it was like the air of desperation behind the show and the people on there, like, it was such a desperate thing, because I'm like, you know, I'm not one to judge or be mean without reason most days. Like, I'm not trying to judge none of these people on this show because I don't truly know these motherfuckers. Just like I don't truly know anybody that I see celebrity-wise on these movies, on these TV shows, on these news stories of their lives being exposed to the public. I don't truly know any of these people, so who am I to judge them in any way, shape, or form? So don't take it as me judging. This is just my opinion on shit. You know, it is what it is. However, saying all that, my first question is, how well do you know somebody in less than a week? Shit, let's even give it a little more time. How well do you know somebody that you just, like, not somebody you are reconnecting with that you've known in the past, but a brand new person walking into your life today? How much information do you really think you're going to know about this person on average in 30 days? Not much, I gather, for me. Like, even if y'all are talking every single day for many hours a day, which in most cases that's not the case, because most of us niggas got jobs. Most of us people have jobs and kids and families and jobs again. And then some of us have school. Some of us have... It's too busy a life to tell me you're going to know that much about any new, brand new person walking into your life in 30 days time. The time period in which these people were on opposite sides of a partition where they couldn't see each other's shape or see them any features of this person physically, and the time period between first conversations and their proposals to each other, I think in all those cases it was less than 2 weeks. And so I'm like, how much do you know about anybody in 2 weeks, my nigga? Like, how much do you really know? You know, how much do you know? You don't know. And then the thing is, that's how much they're telling you. I mean, I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I'm going to be realistic about the shit. People lie. People lie. People omit things. If you saw the show, we had an instance of that we're going to talk about. But people lie, people omit pieces of information, people hold back information because they think if they expose everything that there is to them honestly, to the people that they're dating, that they will immediately be shooed away for this reason or that reason. And even doing that, as I understand, there's one thing saying, oh, I'm not going to tell anybody this information until a certain point. But if we're talking about to the point you're getting engaged with somebody, certain pieces of information are vital, that if you're going to spend the rest of your life with this person, there are certain things this person, a lot of people would say you're not entitled to shit. But to me, I'm like, if I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you, oh, certain pieces of information I should be privy to, just because if you give a damn about me, you give a damn about my right to choose. You give a damn about my agency, that you give a damn about me having that option to make my own decision about shit and not just what you decide to tell me, especially if it's something that does affect me or could affect me. But to me, in 2 weeks' time, you're not going to know anybody. You might know a good deal about that person, or if y'all had a really strong connection, y'all might have shared a lot of information, but there's only so much information you're going to be able to gather. And this is from them speaking to each other through a partition. So it's essentially like think of it as a phone call, essentially, that they were basically talking to each other on the phone for 2 weeks and then proposed. And they were like, oh my God, I'm so in love with this person. And trust me, if you watch the show, I promise I'm not just making this up. They are literally going in the little confessional things and talking to us, the audience, and saying, oh my God, I'm so in love with this person. I just, they're so great, and And you're just looking at them like, you're in love? Nigga, you don't know this person. How stupid are you? Like, I don't want to say how stupid are you. That's not nice. But it's like, are you dumb? Like, that's the question I have to ask. That's the one. In the Jay-Z, think of Jay-Z in, that song he has with Meek Mill, where he's like, are you dumb? Like, that's how I felt watching this show. Like, time and time again, I had to just pause and just sigh in disbelief of just how shitty it was. And I was just like, are y'all dumb? Like, do y'all hear yourselves talking about I'm in love and you don't know much about this person? There's so much you don't know about this person? Like, okay, girl. Okay, dude. You in love? All right, there. Bet. So, you know, I've been talking about that. These folks yelling out, I'm in love, I fell in love when I did it. Like, we're gonna start picking at people. I gotta start doing it. Mark's ass constantly over and over and over again telling us he fell in love and knew he was in love with Jessica from Hello. Like, as soon as she said hello, he knew he was in love. I'm like, come again? This person you've never seen and you're talking to for the very first time, you knew you were in love with this person when they said hello? Boy, are you stupid? Like, him? I'm not taking it back. Are you stupid? Like, how are you in love with somebody you don't know just off of voice? If you fall in love off voices, yeah, you need therapy. You need therapy. Deep, intensive therapy. Because that don't make no goddamn sense. I don't give a damn who you are. That makes no logical sense. But I digress. We're gonna get back to Mark in just a minute here. So, saying all that I'm saying, you know, should looks not matter when it comes to dating? I mean, that's a decision you gotta make. Me personally, as long as I've been dating over the years, looks matter to me. If I am not physically attracted to you, I'm not. Your personality could be the greatest personality in the world. If I'm not physically attracted to you, we're going to be really good friends. That's about as all we're going to ever be able to be. We can be really good ass friends if we have a really good connection with each other and we laugh and we talk and we having a good time. If I don't feel that physical connection, I don't feel that physical chemistry bubbling up a little, at least even somewhat, if I'm not feeling anything, oh, we're not going to make it. Because the thing is, I've always felt there has to be that a person having a great personality is just as important as me being physically attracted to them. If I'm not physically attracted to you, then really, we just friends. We just really good friends at that point. Because that physical attraction, I think, actually, it at least partially makes the difference between somebody I would date and somebody that's just my friend. If I'm not attracted to you, then we're probably friends. I mean, there's not necessarily anything wrong with you. You might not even be an ugly individual, at least overall on speaking. It just may be that I'm not attracted to you in that way, and we're just better off as friends, which is fine. But I'm like, me? I gotta be physically attracted to you. That's just me. But anyways, let's see. The main themes throughout this show, whether you watched it or not, and you can tell me if you agree with me or not if you hear the podcast episode and you converse with me outside of Twitter, even if you can't converse with me on Twitter, let me know if you agree with this. But to me, the main thing, or if you know me in real life, main things for me throughout the show watching it, main themes, air, that air of desperation that hung over all these motherfuckers that participated. It was an air of desperation over all these motherfuckers. Unreasonable expectations all throughout the show, just by all kinds of ways. And common sense trying to knock at your brain when you're being a dum-dum. When you're just being an all-around dummy and your brain's trying to tell you, hey, dum-dum, think we should think about this a little bit more. Can we think about this a little more? And you're just ignoring it. There's a lot of that going on in this show. That there's a lot of times and in a lot of directions where it's clear there was somebody being the voice of reason or hearing that voice of reason of, I don't know if this makes as much sense as I thought it did. But we'll get into that as we go into the main couples that got out of the pods and actually, you know, got engaged, and whether they made it or not, we'll go through all that as well. But let's just get started, because I'm definitely going to take a break soon and then come back to it. But I do want to get started. So breakdowns of the main couples. Let's start with what I consider to be the least problematic out of all these motherfuckers that needed the therapy. Like I said, my opinion, everybody that was on this show needs therapy. Like some sort of therapy to handle unresolved issues and things that they're dealing with and need to face. All of them do. But of the people who got engaged, the least problematic out of them was Lauren and Cameron. They were the mixed race situation. It was the girl was black and the guy was white. So let's talk about some of these reactions people had as they got out of the pods and they proposed, like Cameron proposed. And, you know, they were getting along well, you know, they had sex, the sex was good, you know, everything was going pretty smooth for them, really. The most they had to deal with was the reactions from, I don't think we even really saw Cameron's people, so I'm not sure how they felt about it, but we saw a lot of Lauren's people as far as parents, friends, and their reaction to the whole situation. And you definitely have to go over these if you're going to talk about the show. So let's talk about these. Let's talk about the mom's reaction. So the mom's reaction upon hearing about them getting that being engaged, you know, she wasn't as freaked out as I feel she should have been. And I think part of that had to do with the whole thing that there's an actual, now that part I actually did see on Twitter before I ever watched the show, was a clip basically where you see her, Lauren, talking to her mom. She's like, oh, you know, basically her mom was always, Lauren, when you gonna pop out some kids? Lauren, when you gonna get married? Lauren, you're not gonna meet nobody staying at home all the time. And I hate to be that person to say that, but parents be like that. Like, parents for real, real life be like that. Like, I don't know if it's isolated to just a black people thing, an African-American community thing, or if people in all races have to deal with this. Young adults and just adults in general of all races have to deal with this from parents and families. But I venture to say it's probably it comes no matter what your race is, but I can only speak for certainty in the black community. It's definitely a thing of people, once you hit a certain age, every 5 minutes, other than how's work, how's if you're in school, how's school, it's when you gonna pop out kids, when you gonna get married. Like that every 5 minutes, it's maybe not every 5 minutes, but it starts to feel like every 5 minutes. Like every time y'all are gathering, every time y'all are talking, it's when you gonna get married, when you gonna find somebody, when you gonna settle down, when you gonna do this, when you gonna pop out some kids, when you gonna bring me some grandbabies, all this shit. And so her mom was seeing her mom kind of agreeing with, yeah, that is how I am, that is not unfamiliar to me. It definitely is not unfamiliar to me. I would say my parents haven't been as bad as I've seen other people's parents be, but my Lord, I don't even know if my dad probably won't ever listen to this episode. If he does, what up, Pops? I'm not making this up. You know I ain't lying. He's probably been the only one that's just like, you know, when you dating somebody, you met somebody, like every 5 minutes. Now that I have met somebody, it's definitely chilled out, but of course I still get asked about her every 5 minutes. So, you know, it's interesting. Parents, you gotta love them. most of the time. But anyways, yeah, that was the mom's reaction to everything, you know. She was just so happy that Lauren got somebody that she's just like, you know, I mean, it's great mainly. So, I mean, if this is what you want to do, girl, go ahead. So that was an interesting reaction to see. Her dad's reaction, that one was funny because her dad was kind of like a, you know, heavy pro-black this and black families should stay together kind of situation. So, of course, a white boy walking in saying, hey, I'm engaged to your daughter and I want to get your blessing. He was like, I mean, you know, what are your intentions for my daughter? And I mean, I guess I'm cool with it as much as I can be, but, you know, we'll keep an eye on it, but I guess we all right with it for the time being, as much as I can be in this moment. But, you know, he looked what I feel was appropriately suspicious of the whole situation, like that it went very fast, and that, you know, that asking him the real questions of, like, you know, have you ever been in a room full of black people? That is a valid question to ask somebody that is dating your other race daughter. Like, your daughter is black, you're black, and this guy is not black. You need to ask these questions. Like, have you been in a room full of black people before? Because how have you been in this situation before? Have you dated outside your race before? Do you know the societal pressures you're going to deal with? Do you know the kind of things you're going to deal with from all kinds of directions? And are you ready to handle that? Because those are valid questions. So I appreciate him asking that. So that was him. And then you got the friends. Like, the friend, I remember she went to lunch with one of her friends and told her what was going on. Her friend looked at her like, bitch, what? What? Bitch, what? You engaged? Didn't you say you just left for this shit 2 weeks ago? You engaged? What? Okay, girl, I guess. If that's what you want to do, cool. But you know this a little crazy sounding, right? And I appreciate them keeping it real, because I'm like, yeah, girl, this shit sound crazy. Like, this does sound crazy. If one of my friends came to me with some shit like that, I'd be like, are you out of your fucking mind? 2 weeks? How much do you... I would literally start asking them legit-ass questions. Like, do you know what's their last name? What's their middle name? What's their favorite? I would start asking some bullshit-ass questions just to see, do you know bullshit-ass questions about this person? Because if you... 2 weeks? Nah, you don't know this person, and you don't really know them. Y'all haven't been through anything. Y'all might not have even had an argument yet, depending on the situation. Let's see. And then we have, so yeah, friends were, gave an appropriate reaction. And then you got Lauren all throughout the process, once they got engaged, having second thoughts, and all the way up until the point of getting to the altar, there were times she's like, I don't know if I'm going to definitely do this or not. Like, I really have to think about this and make sure it's the right decision. Like, the fact that something kept pecking at her to really think this over, I'm happy about that. At least kind of, even though, like I said, she didn't listen to the boys, obviously, because she did go through with the marriage. At least something kind of stopped her and was like, hey, girl, let's think about this now. Do you really know this guy? Is this really going to work out? Do I maybe need to slow this down? Something slowed her down, because nothing was slowing down Cameron. Cameron was like, I'm certain. I know for sure. I'm in love with you. Da-da-da-da. And I was like, okay, dude, that's great. But for her to actually have second thoughts, I was at least happy she at least kind of sort of had second thoughts. So it wasn't like she was just completely out of her fucking mind. But yeah, they were probably the least problematic out of the couples that made it on through. So I think we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue on with Damien and Gianna, Kelly and Kenny, Barnett and Amber, and Mark and Jessica and Diamond and Carlton. Hopefully I get through all those. If not, then, you know, I might have to rush towards the end, but I'll figure it out. You are listening to Toss Salads and Scrambled Eggs. And we're back. This week's episode of Is Love Blind? I'm talking about the Netflix show Love is Blind. I believe that's the name of the show. I hope I ain't been saying the wrong title this whole time. That would be real awkward if I am. Uh-oh. Anywho, I believe it's called Love is Blind. Or Is Love Blind? One or the other. Anyways, we were talking about the main couples. We had already kind of talked about the show in general and the kinds of questions and dilemmas and notions it might conjure up. But we had gotten basically into the couples that basically got engaged, and we got to see the aftermath of them leaving the pods and experiencing the real world, seeing each other and how that affects things and finding out is love blind and blah, blah, blah. So we already talked about Lauren and Cameron. Like I said, they were the least problematic out of all the nicknogs that need therapy. The next couple I wanted to talk about was Damien and Giannina. I think I pronounced her name right. So they, you know, they had a little fiery little situation going on. And one of the things that they had issues with were learning how to communicate with each other. As many times I said it before, I will say it a million times again. Communication, communication, communi-fucking-cation. It will be your bread and butter in life, and it will be the life or death of most relationships you will ever have in life. And these two exhibited this well, because it got to a point where there were different times where they didn't agree with each other about things or didn't know how to talk about things, where like she may have wanted to talk about something and he would just shut the whole situation down. Like, for example, there was a portion in the show where he mentioned that, you know, I think she had asked him something about work, and he just shut down. He just refused to talk about work. He was like, I'm on vacation. This is kind of like a vacation for me, away from reality. I don't really want to talk about work. And the fact of the matter was, as it came out to be, Damien had taken off from work a lot longer than he intended to. And so it was a concern of, was this bastard going to have a job when he got back? Because, you know, I guess he must have told him, hey, I'm going to be off for a little bit, but I'll be back. And he might have told him like X amount of time, and then he wasn't back in that amount of time. And so she asked about it, as a curious person would, if you're just curious about it and or suspicious, and he shut it down. So that pissed her off. And she even expressed at one point that, you know, in her family, the way that she's accustomed to communicating is like people getting loud and people arguing and stuff. So that's what they do. So that's how she does. And there's a portion where they're in their little apartment thing, they're engaged and shit, and he's laying on the bed and she's in the kitchen, and they start arguing about something. I forget what it was, but in the process of them arguing, she comes out of left field straight up with some shit like, so, you know how when we have sex and you say it's the best sex you've ever had and I don't ever respond in mutual to you about that? Yeah. And I was just like I legit paused the show on that. And just, we died. Like, we were over here dying. We were like, are you fucking kidding me? Did she really just, in the middle of an argument about something that has nothing to do with sex, bust out with some shit of, you are not my best sex? Like, that's a low blow. Even if it's the truth, that's a low blow. Because you don't bring up some other issue that you feel is going wrong in the relationship when you're talking about something else. Like, that's not cool, because it's like your ammunition for this argument is a completely different argument altogether. Or not even argument, the ammunition for one discussion, or your anger or your bad feelings of one situation, or you use something else unrelated to keep it going. I'm like, that's not okay. That's not okay. Like, you can't just do that. That's not how communication works. That's not how having a discussion with somebody you're supposed to love and care for works. You don't just throw a low blow to hurt their feelings in there. And the thing was, he recovered pretty fast from it, which, again, speaks to these motherfuckers need therapy. But he recovered from it very quickly. But it's just like, y'all wildin', like, what? So, yeah, that kind of shit going on, I was like, nah, that's not cool. And y'all talking about y'all getting married? Oh, okay. And then when they were having a birthday party for one of the other guys, and they were all gathered together, they started having an argument about something in front of everybody. Like, they had a full-out ass argument and got loud. She got really loud. He didn't really get that loud, but she was just like, hey, you motherfucker, you fucking listen to me. And I was like, oh. Because this is just my opinion. Like, you can have a different opinion from me on this, but it is what it is. For me personally, whether it's me talking about my own relationship or just relationships in general, I personally feel that you shouldn't really have, if you and your significant other are having issues or have something y'all need to hash that shit out in private. Hash that shit out behind closed doors. Everybody does not need to know your business. Everybody does not need to know that shit is hitting the fan even for a second, because It's just not a good look. First of all, it just looks raggedy, because then y'all are going at it with each other and possibly embarrassing yourselves in front of everybody, embarrassing yourself and embarrassing your partner in public. But then it's just a bad look. You just not something you want. You don't want everybody in the world in your business, in your relationship. Everybody doesn't need to know everything going on. So to me, you should have those kind of discussions behind closed doors. You don't. Even if it's something that happened just then, address it later. Address it in the car on the way home. Address it when y'all get home. Do not address it in front of everybody loud and cussing and all that stuff. I mean, it's entertaining for everybody else around you, but that's about it. For the most part, it's just embarrassing yourself and making yourself look crazy or bad or whatever. And not that it should matter what people think about you, but you have a reputation to uphold of some sort, and being out in public, being loud and being all that, people don't want to be around those kind of people for long. It's entertaining once or twice, but after that, it's like, nah, y'all can not come, because all y'all do is argue. Like, that's what it's going to become at some point. So at some point, they're going to be like, we're not inviting y'all to stuff no more. And be like, why don't y'all invite us to stuff no more? Because y'all just get into arguments and it's awkward. Like, you're going to become that couple that never gets invited to anything ever again, whether individually or as a couple. But yeah. And then the only other main thing I really want to talk about with Damien and Giannina was Damien's parents refusing to meet her or be at the wedding. I thought that, I mean, it's not nice for this, for me to think that this is hilarious, but it was a little hilarious to me. Hilarious in the sense that I was like, yes, thank you, parents, for, I mean, they may, who knows what the actual reason was that they didn't want to meet them or be on camera or anything. Who knows what the actual reason is, because we never actually get told what the reason is. But I mean, come on, we're not stupid. We can deduce that, even if we're not 100% sure, we can deduce that they may not have wanted to be a part of the show and be a part of all that, because they felt, this is some weird shit. We don't want to be on TV. We don't want to be seen on camera for some show where you're engaged to some broad in 2 weeks, and that don't even make no sense. Nah, we don't want to be a part of that. Yeah, you figure it out, but we ain't gonna be a part of that. Of course, Giannina was upset, highly upset. But I mean, to me, I'm like, that's not that big a deal, seeing as how her own family was like, you don't really know this man. Like, y'all need more time. Like, you don't know this man. But, you know, they weren't, nobody was really listening. Like, for everybody whose family and friends were saying, hey, y'all need a little bit more time. Are you really sure about this? 2 weeks ain't that long a time. You really don't know this person. But I feel like most of the families took the stance of, no, it hasn't been that long a time, but A, who are we to tell you what's too fast and what is and isn't too fast? And, you know, what is and isn't too fast, and what you what decisions you're going to make. Making a big deal about this is only going to result in arguing, so I'm just not going to do it. If this is what you want to do and you think it's best, I suppose go for it. You know, they just didn't want to deal with the shit, the stress of it all, so I understand that. Moving on, let's go to, speaking of which, let's go to Kelly and Kenny. They didn't really have too much quote-unquote shiggity going on. Oh, by the way, of course, like I said, Lauren and Cameron, they made it. They got engaged. They got married. They went through with the wedding and everything. Damien and Giannina, they did not. Damien was the one to say no. And it was just because he felt like he didn't really know the girl. Because that she was one way at one point and one way at another point, and he just wasn't here for it. And I was quite happy with that result. I was like, yes, yes. If you feel like you're getting different people on different days and that shit is just not tolerable for you, you definitely don't want to be married to somebody like that. That sounds like a recipe for disaster. So that made sense to me. So that's that. But back to Kelly and Kenny. I feel like there may have been some other big issues, but I think their big issue was that, if you notice, of the couples that come out of the pods, Only two out of five couples, there were two that did not have sex at some point while they were continuing on the path towards the wedding ceremony. There were five couples that made it out. Three of the couples had sex. Like, as soon as they got to the little Mexico kind of honeymoonish kind of thing or engagement kind of outing in Mexico, they was fucking. They was having the sex, and you know that they enjoyed themselves. One of the two couples that didn't immediately have sex, one of them did eventually have sex, but yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment here. But Kelly and Kenny were one of the couples that didn't have sex, and that became kind of the big circular issue of, okay, everybody else having sex, are we gonna have sex? And to be fair, there were multiple issues going on. I believe Kelly said she had never had an orgasm before. And, you know, that is a real issue. Like, you know, just even thinking about sex in general, taking the orgasm out of it, if your experience with sex has always been something bad or negative or it hasn't gone well, wouldn't you avoid sex too? Because for us that have, for those of us who have had sex and had enjoyable sex, you're not trying to avoid sex. You try to have sex because you've had enjoyable experiences. You know it can feel good. You want it to feel good. And so you want to have sex with somebody you're getting to know and date and all that. But if you haven't had good experiences with it, you might be trying to avoid sex, and that's okay. That's normal. Like, that's a sensible thing to do. For Kenny, it was a little weird because, of course, he wasn't shying away from the sex, but he also didn't want to pressure her, which was nice. But that was their main issue, that, you know, she wanted to weigh, she wanted to really get to know him, and that kind of, to me, that circles around to the big question that I started off with from the beginning of this show. How well do you know someone after 2 weeks to be engaged and talking about you're going to spend the rest of your life with them and you not having sex with them? Because it's funny, this whole time I've been throwing the main question out there of, do looks really matter in somebody you're going to spend the rest of your life with? But this show also brought up a very prominent question of, if we're putting sex in the equation, do you find it necessary to have sexual chemistry with the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with? Some people would say that shit don't matter and sex ain't that big a deal. Again, my opinion on that, kudos to you and more power to you. But somebody that I call myself spending the rest of my life with, oh, I would like to have good sex. I don't know about y'all, but if we fucking, I want the sex to be good. I want it to be, it doesn't have to, I need it to be great. Good, great, amazing. I need it to be something I look forward to, that when somebody says, hey, you and so-and-so having sex, oh yes, the fuck we are. Oh yes. not that it's anybody else's business, but it's one of the kind of things I want to be happy about. That if I think about sex with my partner, I want to be excited about that shit. If I'm not excited about that shit, that's a problem to me. That's a motherfucking problem. But that's me. But yeah, so Kenny was definitely bothered by it. Kelly, I feel like Kelly kind of knew that, you know, Kelly felt, I think Kelly's thing was that part of Kelly's thing was the orgasm thing. The other part of it was that she straight up, you know, for us anyways, in the audience, she kind of told us that, you know, she wasn't necessarily feeling that strong, bubbling sexual chemistry for Kenny. So that was the other thing that was kind of slowing her down from having sex, which I felt like it was probably 50-50, half the orgasm thing, half she just wasn't feeling it in her loins for him, you know what I mean? And you, to me, that's, I feel like that was part of the whole thing of coming out of the pods and it no longer just being conversation in a room, but them actually spending time together. She wasn't feeling that urge to do nasty things with this person. Like, she wasn't feeling that, and ultimately they ended up not getting married. Like, he was down for it, but she in the end said no. And I'm like, that definitely has something to do with it. You ain't gonna make me believe anything else. It definitely has something to do with it. But I digress. We gotta keep going. Let's move on to Barnett and Amber. Oh, this fiery ass set of motherfuckers. So Barnett's ass was sitting up in here. Coming in there while they were in the pods, you know, talking to different people, he was feeding lies to chicks, man. Like, at one point, they were like, he had his choice. At one point, he had like three different women that were like, oh man, I really could see myself with him. Like, I really feel a good vibe with him. And there were three women that he genuinely was like, you know what? I kind of get along with this one and this one and this one. Which, if we're being real, if you're dating in the real world, you could potentially have some situation like that, where if you're dating more than one person at a time, you could like more than one person at a time for different, like different people for different reasons, but you can like more than one person at a time. But he was feeding them the exact same lines and shit, or similar lines, and he ended up getting himself fucked up. For a hot second, he got himself fucked up. But yeah, he was feeding them the same lines, and I mean, that's definitely not the first time I've ever heard of that happening, because I've definitely heard of women complain, mainly women complaining about men doing this, but complaining about men using the same lines, doing the same gestures, having sex the exact same way, just doing everything the exact same with every single person they ever meet. And I don't think it's the way to go, but you know, it's your life, you do whatever. On one hand, I feel like there's part of me that kind of had a little bit of understanding for Barnett, because I was like, okay, Barnett was genuinely like, I'm not sure yet, because we're just talking right now. I don't know for sure if I want to. And again, this is where I feel this was common sense knocking at his head. Like, hey, he did admit that he had commitment issues, but he also, I feel like part of it was commitment issues and part of it was, I'm just talking to these people through a wall. I don't know these women, so I don't know. There's more than one person that's on my mind, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That's normal when you're dating people, especially if you're dating more than one person at a time. It could be like that. So, you know, that's why some people would say they wouldn't date more than one person at a time, seriously. But in the casual dating phase, it happens. So the thing is, that was Barnett's thing. Amber, on the other hand, her fireball, oh man, she was coming on strong. Like, if y'all watched the show, I know y'all remember when they first opened the doors and let them see each other. She near about humped him right there. Like, she was ready to hump him. She's like, hi. Like, looking crazy as all get out. Looking like she was about to hump that man right there on that red carpet. She didn't give a damn. She was ready to give him the draws right there. And it was hilarious to watch. Like, she was ready. Like, They was wild. And like, he left the roses he brought her on the ground at the red carpet thing and had to run back and go get them for her. Because, ooh, they was tripping. But Amber, yeah. She had some violent streaks going on in her, because she was like, as we were watching the show, I said to my girl multiple times, I was like, why does she seem like she gonna kill him if he doesn't marry her? Like, she's gonna kill him. Like, I'm not joking. I think he's gonna like they're gonna fight. If she goes through all this and they don't get married, she's gonna fight him. I think she's gonna fight him right after they leave the altar. Like, she's gonna either that or she's gonna beat his ass in front of all their family and friends. She is going to beat his ass. Cause she was just her attitude, the way she was, it came off like she would beat his ass if that's what happened. Cause she had some sort of military background. I think she was a tank engineer at one point. So yeah, she had a military background. She was a little aggressive. Ain't nothing wrong with an aggressive woman that knows what she wants. There's nothing wrong with that. However, she seemed like the kind of aggressive that, oh, I'll beat your ass under numerous circumstances. But anyways, I digress. Don't know that woman. I'm just making assumptions and being a little bit of a jackass. But yeah, she alluded to that during the show. And then when it came to Jessica, who we haven't gotten to yet, she's the next, her and Mark are the next ones on the chopping block. But Jessica kept pushing up on Barnett. And we'll kind of get more into that in just a second as well. But yeah, Jessica, throughout the show, kept pushing up on Barnett. Even though it was clear that, you know, Amber and Barnett are engaged, Jessica's supposed to be engaged to somebody else, and here she is pushing up on this person's man. Like, she does not care. She's saying, oh, I would never do those sort of things. I'm not that kind of person. And then you give her a couple of glasses of wine, and she is definitely that person. You give her a little whiskey and some gin, she's that person and worse. But we're not on Jessica right now. She's the worst of the bunch, I have to say, in my opinion. One of the worst of the bunch. But yeah, we're on Amber. Amber, literally at some point, I think it was at the bachelorette party, she literally had to kind of, she didn't even take her to the side. Like, Jessica kept coming up to her about shit. And so she eventually had to just say, kind of in the, probably the night, I feel like Amber has probably hung around some black people before, or some black women at least, because the way she told Jessica off was very, it's hard for me to not say it wasn't black woman-esque, because it was very black woman-esque in the sense of, it was so nice and so sincere, but you definitely could tell she really meant, if you don't stop, she basically said in the nicest way possible, if you keep fucking around with my man, trying to fuck around and talk to my man, I'm going to beat your ass. She didn't say this now. She didn't say any of what I just said. But what she did say to Jessica basically said that in a very, very calm and nice way. She was just, you know, I will do what is necessary if you continue to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Basically, I translated it to, if you keep talking to my man, even though you know he's not interested in you anymore, that he's with me, he's happy, he's good, thanks. You keep doing this shit, I will beat your ass if necessary. I will stick your head up your own ass and throw you out and embarrass you in front of everybody if I have to. And she even eventually said it. She was just like, I will beat her ass if I have to. But yeah, Amber was wild. She was ready. So Barnett had another issue going on, basically, that he wasn't, he basically told Amber that his family's opinion means a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. Family, people who you care about at the end of the day, I know everybody, we have this whole thing of always saying the only person's opinion that should matter is your own. Fuck what everybody else thinks. But I have to tell you, I feel like if you care about people, if people become very important in your life, their opinions of certain things you do are gonna matter. I'm not saying everybody's opinion should matter, but if you care about people, at some point in life, the things you do should matter to somebody else, and your opinion of what those people think should play into things at some point, in some way. But yeah, Barnett basically said that his family's opinions he really cared about those highly. So it was to the point where Amber was concerned that, you know, Barnett was going to, in the future, take his family side on shit versus taking her side. And people or couples and married people have definitely had that argument before. That is not a new argument for couples and married people. Trust. Ask some of your coupled friends. Ask some of your married friends. They'll tell you. At least some of them have had to deal with this, where their mate is more worried about the opinions of certain other outer sources than they are about your opinion or taking sides and the whatnot. So the other part of that whole thing was Barnett's family, because that's the one I think we met both families, but when it got to Barnett's family, they were the ones that showed like actual concern to the point of like, they basically said to Barnett, and I don't know if he said it to both, they said it to both of them, but they for sure said it to Barnett, this seems more like lust than love. Like, you're saying, you know, you're in love with her and you just know she's the one, but it's like y'all haven't even known each other two weeks. The way y'all are acting right now and behaving, it seems more like a lust thing. Like, y'all, and I mean, from the energy that they were giving off, it appeared that they were having probably some bomb ass sex. Like I said, Amber's a little, you know, super aggressive and really just, she really seemed like she was throwing that thing on Barnett, and Barnett probably was well happy to catch whatever she was throwing. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, though they were dealing with all that, but they ended up getting married. So, you know, Amber didn't have to beat Barnett's ass in front of everybody, and all was well with them. They stayed married and that life was good. Then we get to Mark and Jessica. Mark and Jessica, the thing about them was, Jessica, while they were still in the pods, a lot of fuckery happened. A lot of fuckery happened that just made her and Mark coming together really shitty from the very beginning. So Jessica decided at some arbitrary point that Jessica was one of the people that Barnett was spitting that game to and saying all these wonderful things to. And, you know, she thought for sure she was in that thing. She thought for sure it was going to be her and Barnett, talking to other girls about it, like her and Barnett. And what ended up happening was Barnett, before she had a conversation with Barnett, like a full-blown where are we at conversation with Barnett, she basically shut Mark down. She was just like, no, you know, I'm not really feeling like there's somebody else I feel a stronger connection with, and I'm just going to go with that. Like, I don't want to hurt you, but I don't feel it. I feel something stronger with somebody else, so that's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for. Because she thought she was in that thing. She thought that Barnett had already decided as well that he was going for her. And then she went to go meet with Barnett all happy, like, oh, that's going to be my boo. We're going to get engaged. And then Barnett was like, ma'am, it's not you. I hate to tell you, you're not the one I'm going with. And as soon as he said that, she was pissed. She was just like, I can't believe you let me on like this. Why would you say all the things you said? You're a piece of shit. Like, she went off. And rightfully so. I mean, he was kind of leading her on. So, I mean, I'm not knocking her for doing that. But what I am going to knock her for is, you know, things went shitty. And so, after things went shitty with her and Mark, or not her and Mark, I'm sorry. Things went shitty with her and Barnett, she turned to Mark. And I feel like, pod-wise, while they were still in the pod, she only turned back to Mark, not because she actually was feeling anything for him, but because she already knew that he was head over heels for her. So she knew she wasn't going to be rejected again. So she was like, oh yeah, Mark's head over heels about me, so I'll just go with that, just because I know I won't get rejected. I know that he wants me for sure, so there's no gamble with this. I know he wants me. But I think that's the only reason she went with it. Because as you watch the rest of the show, from the moment they get out of the pods and see each other, from that point on, and it just gets worse and worse over the course of the show, you can tell she's just kind of tolerating Mark. She don't even really want to be with him. And then the crazy thing, so that was her crazy ass. Her crazy ass, she was doing that. She was getting drunk multiple times. And when she was drunk, she was a mean drunk. She was, you know, being all in Mark's face saying, oh, Barnett is awesome. And that's who I really want to be with. And just really rubbing it in Mark's face and being a terrible human being. And meanwhile, that was Jessica being terrible. And like I said, mentioned previously, not only was she doing that, but because she still had feelings for Barnett, even though Barnett shut her ass down, she kept, once they got out of the pod, that she could see him and she was physically attracted to him as well, she decided she was just going to get drunk and keep talking to this man over and over and over. And she kept trying to tell us, like, oh, you know, I think I just want to be friends with him. Like, we had a really good connection, so I think I just want to be his friend. And we all looking at each other like, when I say we, I mean like any of us watching the show, we all looking at each other like, bitch, you know you don't want to be his friend. You want to be friends with his dick. That's what you want to be friends with. You want to be friendly with his dick, but you don't want to be his friend. You want him. You want to be with him. And you know, it's like she kept trying to sell it to us that she just wanted to be friends with him, but her actions show she wanted to be with him. Even Amber saw it to the point that she had to threaten her to be like, hey, you keep fucking around, I'm gonna fuck you up. But yeah, she would get drunk and Jessica would get drunk, and there's one instance she goes back to the room with Mark and she's like, oh, Barnett is sexy and fine and da da da. And I'm like, ma'am, you are engaged to this man. You are engaged to this man telling her about another man who is also engaged that you're attracted to when you don't say these things about him. And so, you know, in most normal circumstances, any normal guy that's dealing with all this resistance and all this stuff, you would think that this guy would see all this and be like, she's just not that into me, if she's into me at all. Maybe I should walk away from this shit. Like, I like her, but she don't really like me like that. So maybe I should step off, or maybe I should back away from this. Like, maybe that would be the advisable thing to do. And the crazy thing is, when they were still in the pods and they came back to the room and Mark basically found out that she got shut down by Barnett, you know, she... My first notion when it happened, I was like, Mark, be smart about this. You were her second string choice. She completely blew your ass off. I don't know if this is the right idea to continue forward with this, but he swore he was so in love with her and so for sure about their connection. He was like, I'm going to go for it. Like, I know I'm in love with her. She came back to me. So that's who I'm going to go with. They get out of the pods. She did make a small complaint that he was shorter than what she's accustomed to, which is kind of why I kind of mentioned the whole heightest thing earlier in the episode. Cause it happens sometimes. You see somebody and you be like, they're not tall enough for me. And that's somebody's opinion to make, but it's just like, that's part of love not being blind, that looks do factor into the whole thing. And like I said, there were two couples that didn't initially have sex once they saw each other and got engaged. Mark and Jessica were couple number two that didn't have sex initially. They did end up having sex towards the end of the show, like maybe like a week before the actual wedding ceremony. But Jessica shut down Mark only for Barnett to come back and shut her down. And then Mark being that desperate, like the air of desperation behind this man. Like at first it kind of made it seem like he had his sense going and was like, nah, like I wasn't her pick. So I need to just go. If he was smart, he would have shut her down and went home alone. Like just left the show, left it alone. Never got engaged. This dude proposed to her anyways. And Jessica, crazy ass, said yes just to say yes. Mark, being that desperate, he took her back. He took her back then. He took her back when she got drunk the first time and was being weird in their hotel room and talking real reckless to him. And when they got to their own little apartments living together and she was talking mad shit, he kept taking her back over and over and over and over and over. Not to mention they weren't having the sex. Like, everybody else having sex nearby and they not having sex. and she's being like mad disrespectful to their relationship. Like, get the hint. Like, no, this is, you can do better than this. But, you know, that really just, you know, like I said, Jessica got drunk and she was telling Mark that Barnett is sexy and fine and flirting with Barnett, even though she know Amber could clearly and would clearly beat her ass. She still kept doing it until the point that Amber had to tell her, fuck off before I fuck you up. But this all goes back to knowing your worth. Like, as a person, you have to learn your worth. You have to learn what you and what you have to offer people is worth. What your time and your friendship and your romantic connection with somebody is worth. And if you don't know, you don't have confidence about yourself, if you don't have self-worth already, you're just going to accept any old bullshit. You're going to allow any old bullshit to go on and just keep trying to quote unquote persevere. But there's a difference between persevering and speeding over speed bumps. Like speeding over speed bump after speed bump after speed bump, destroying your car, saying, these are just little speed bumps. I should still keep going this fast. Like, speed bumps are created to slow you the fuck down. He kept getting hit with speed bump after tire shredder thing, after whatever. And he still kept being like, I'm in love with her. I know she loves me. She just hasn't gotten herself together yet and she's going to figure it out. No. She just wasn't into you, bro. Like, she just wasn't. And he was just so desperate to make it work that he was just bypassing all those signs and all those red flags of this ain't working, to the point that they got all the way to the altar. And I guess because he thought they finally had sex towards the end, that he thought maybe they really had connected and it was going to be fine. No, they got to the altar. She said, nah, I'm not. I don't. And she left and she was just like, yeah, love is not blind for me. Sorry. And I'm like, that's probably the most sensible thing out of this whole shit of insanity from Jessica. The only sensible thing that she said, love is not blind for me, looks matter to me, and it just wasn't working out for me. That was probably the most sensible thing she said and did. Everything else, crazy. She had to go home. She probably went home, saw the show, and saw the episodes before we did, and was embarrassed. Because we see, I think we get to see the reunion special that comes at the end, like a year after the events of the show. That means she probably went home, saw that shit, and was like, oh my God, I look like a fucking lunatic and a terrible person. I don't know if she realizes how shitty she was, and did she go get therapy after this? Did any of these motherfuckers go to therapy? But yeah, she was awful. And then, last but not least, we gotta talk about Diamond and Carlton. Although they got engaged, but their shit broke off like maybe episode 2 or 3. Like, after they all came out of the pods, they were done before they really even got started. Before we get into that, I'll be petty for like 5 seconds. Netflix know they could have done better with Diamond's hair. Like, they did her so dirty because her wig was all janky looking. Mind you, I'm the kind of person, I don't know that much about hair, so I don't be talking about nobody's hair ever in life. And then I'm also bald, so I can't really. It's kind of a ironic ass thing. Somebody who doesn't have hair talking about people with hair, even if it's just hair they bought, it's still their hair. Anyways, point is, wig, weave, whatever. They had her shit was looking jacked up on the show. They could have done better with her. But anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. What we actually came to talk about to end this episode off was something I mentioned in last week's episode, because I just happened to mention it being a question that kind of revolved around social media, especially on Twitter, when the show first came out, of, you know, Diamond and Carlton, because Carlton is bisexual, but he basically, after watching the show, now I have the full facts of the show, he was basically hiding that shit from her. And the reason I say that I've come to the conclusion and I'm settled on the conclusion that he was hiding that shit was because every time we went into the confessional, or not even the confessional, but just the thing where they could kind of talk to the audience, but nobody else can hear them kind of thing, he was constantly telling us, oh my God, I have this big secret that I'm holding in. And, you know, if I know if I don't tell her, I'm going to have to tell her and it could destroy everything. And I'm like, maybe it's just me and maybe I'm naive. But I'm like, if you feel there is something in regards to dating you that is such a big issue that it could destroy you and somebody's connection, or that in the past, or just in general, it's the kind of thing that could easily, you know, make somebody be like, change their mind about wanting to date you. I feel like if anything, you'd want to get that out of the way and let them make their own decision rather than try to hide it as long as you can, and then randomly just spit it out and then hope for the best. Because that's exactly what he did. They got to know each other and whoop-de-whoop and all this good stuff, and then they got engaged. Yes, I'll marry you. You'll be my king and my queen, all this stuff. Everything's great. And then they get to the hotel after being engaged, and he's acting real standoffish and weird. And they go sit by the pool, and he's like, yeah, I'm bisexual. And she's like, we're engaged. You didn't want to tell me that until now? And when it's like almost too late, like, what if we had got all... Were you possibly gonna let us get married before telling me that? Because to me, that is deceit. That is deceit, to hold something like that and not hold something like that and not, you know, share that with somebody you're dating. It's interesting, because I think about it and I'm like, you know, when you're out there in the dating world and you're getting to know people, you don't necessarily, like, some people do disclose their sexual orientation, but honestly, I don't think everybody just asks that off top, like, are you straight, are you bisexual, are you lesbian, are you whatever. People oftentimes, especially heterosexually speaking, when it's talking about men and women dating, oftentimes people just assume and they just keep rolling, unless they somehow already knew before they met this person or before they really got to know this person that this person was bisexual. That's not something that's always discussed. And, you know, there was this whole controversy online about, oh, she's being biphobic and phobic again and being homophobic because she stopped talking to him, because she's, a lot of people interpreted as her stopping their engagement and all that stuff because she was not okay with him being bisexual. That may have been part of it, but really, she probably... I feel, at least partially, she broke it off because he couldn't communicate about it. He couldn't talk about it. When she wanted to have a full discussion about the whole thing, he just kept making it. He kept deflecting. He kept being defensive and being extra loud and extra, well, as the kids say it, extra. He was being extra in every way, shape, and form, and did everything possible to not have to discuss what he was hiding and why he was hiding it, and just have an honest discussion about it. Like, if they had actually had the discussion out, they might have actually gotten at least a little bit farther. They would have actually probably gotten through the rest, a good chunk of the show. Maybe not gotten married, but they at least would have continued on through the show. But because he just took it left field, it wasn't nothing left to go back to. Like, they had to break up. And so, really, that's what I'm going to leave it at. Diamond and Carlton, yeah, they was wild. And like, his dysfunctional, he was dysfunctional as fuck, because he just didn't have a regulate. He didn't know how to regulate his own damn emotions. Like, he would go from 0 to 100 real quick, real fucking quick. And he was blatantly trying to hide his bisexuality. Like, he knew that was something that could potentially be controversial. And instead of just addressing it and letting Diamond make it her own decision, he just hid it. He knew what he was doing. To me, it's one thing if you just didn't say it and just thought, you genuinely, innocently thought it wasn't that big a deal, so you just didn't mention it, versus the way he is shown on the show, he was purposely hiding that fact. He was purposely hiding that information for as long as he possibly could. And when she wanted to talk about it after, when she wanted to talk about it and not only talk about that, but when she addressed it and was direct to him and saying, hey, you lied about this, you were hiding this, he exploded and went on the defense and tried to make it like she was the problem, whereas he was the one that caused the problem. And so his defensive stance, when she just wanted to ask questions and that he kept it a secret and for as long as he could, that's not an uncommon thing either. Like, I've definitely heard that from many a woman that I know of, guys they've dated or been trying to get to know. Basically, when they try to ask about information, or when they want to just get more information that they, or ask questions about anything or discuss any topics or issues, that they get shut down, that the conversation ends because they're just like, nope, we're not talking about this, or they change the subject, or they get defensive. And It's not an old thing. People do this, and there are many a guy out there, gay, straight, bisexual, any other sexual orientation under the sun, that there are many a guy who will do that, who will try to shut down. I mean, there are women that do it too, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about men right now. We're talking about men who do not want you to communicate, who do not know how to communicate. And instead of allowing somebody to voice their dissatisfaction with anything or have an open discussion about something, they just shut it down, or they go on the defense and make it about personal shots versus just wanting the truth. And I just end this episode to say, don't be as desperate as these people on this damn show. Whether you decide to watch, whether you already watched the show long time ago, whether you just watched the show, whether you're going to go watch the show after you listen to this episode, or if you're never going to watch the show, do not be as desperate as these people on this goddamn show. Know your worth. Know what you are worth. And do not let people treat you any kind of way. And don't be so desperate for love that you will allow any and everything to slide, and that you will pass up every red flag known to man just because you want to say you have somebody. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends, family members, whoever the fuck you want to share it with. Leave me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, or leave me a good review anywhere you can leave me a review about this podcast. If you have some constructive criticism, as always, let me know. If you know me personally, just come at me. Let me know what I can do to make it better. And, y'all stay safe out there, and I will talk to y'all soon. Peace.